As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You'll be the best and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me today for a very special bonus episode, my fabulous co-host, Bobby Wagner, Rams inside linebacker and team captain. Bobby, how are we doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on today. And I wanted to, first and foremost, shout out Bud Light, as I hear you've partnered with them to give away a game-worn and signed jersey to a fan. Tickets to the Christmas Day game. Are you kidding? That's quite a gift. And people can nominate their fan of choice, 21 and older, for a chance to win Bud Light's perfect present by tweeting hashtag Bud Light present at Bud Light and tag the handle of who you're nominating. And like, that leads me to ask, do you remember your first jersey you ever got?
Wow, that is a great question. The first jersey that I ever had probably was either Sherm or KJ, as far as like when I got into the league. Before that, probably a Kobe jersey. A Kobe jersey or an Allen Iverson jersey.
Allen, that's a good jersey. I had his shoes. I was a really terrible point guard and I had his shoes and I thought they made me a little bit better. They didn't, but you know, it's a thought that counts.
That's all good.
Do you remember the first, like the Sherm jersey and the KJ jersey? That's really special, right? Because those are ones you keep forever. Do you have like a sort of a setup that you have preserved them in, or do you just kind of keep them around, or how do you kind of set up those mementos that you've kept over your career?
I'm actually in the process of getting them hung up, and I'm trying to find a place for them in my house. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, have some cool friends that I play with. And so I got a lot of jerseys I can put up.
Are you at the place in your career now where it's like you're getting DMs from young players? Not that you're not a young player. No, we go over this a lot. I know, you know, are you getting DMs every week? Like, hey, man, can I get your jersey after this game? And how do you kind of choose who gets your jersey and if you get a multiple requests?
Nah, funny enough, like I think sometimes like people are afraid to ask, but I think too, like I have a relationship with mostly people on different teams. And so, you know, I kind of have an idea of like who I exchange jersey with prior to the game or things like that. But, you know, I'm always looking for like young linebackers that are coming up that I feel like are really cool to connect with and things of that nature. So I would probably say that because I think, you know, the linebacker is a position that people oftentimes overlook. So, you know, I like to show my love in the way that I can.
I was going to say, I don't think there are many running backs or tight ends that are asking you for your jersey after a game in which you're playing them. The pain is too fresh at that point.
So. Yeah, I think so, for sure.
What about some of these young linebackers, Bobby? I mean, I know you kind of keep it one eye. You're immersed in the season right now, but you kind of keep one eye on the rest of the league as well. Is there anybody who's kind of popping in your mind that, you know, you think maybe they got an exciting future ahead of them?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, what is old or young compared to myself? So
all old compared to you. I've learned my lesson now.
So I don't know exactly. Like I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss some people, but I'll start with my fellow teammate Ernest. I always enjoy watching Ernest play. But Fred's one, Nick Bolton is one, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, Zaire Franklin is another one. There's so many special linebackers, and if they hear this and people I forgot, like please don't feel offended, but there's a lot of people I can mention.
You won't see a tweet from like an aggregation site out there saying Bobby doesn't like this linebacker. Bobby doesn't.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm a fan of a lot of just young linebackers. I think there's a lot of amazing young linebackers coming up.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Ernest because it's been really cool to watch you guys' friendship and mentorship grow. And it feels like it's mutual in a way because you're always trying to learn and grow in your game as well, even as you're at the top of yours. What have you learned about Ernest over this year? And kind of how would you describe his personality?
I think he's fun, energetic. Like he's someone that just brings the best out of you and brings like positivity out of you. Cause he's always smiling. He's always, looking around to learn. So it's been a dope energy to be around, but I mean, you know, the play I think speaks for itself. He's a really, really good player. I think he had an amazing pick last week. And it's just fun. His energy is contagious. So every time he's out there on the field, like, you know, you can feel the team just feeding off his energy.
Yeah. He told me once, even actually before you joined the team, he told me during his rookie season that he really tries to model a specific part of his game after yours, which is how spatially aware and spatially present a person is, just kind of knowing where to flow and when to flow. And is that something that's learned or can you also teach that?
I think you can do both. You can learn it and you can teach it. There's not words that you can teach. It's more like you just have to see it. So sometimes it's like, even at practice, like he'll see something that I do and ask a question that I try to explain what I was thinking or what made me, you know, kind of have that movement. But, you know, a lot of times it's just visual. Like I remember watching like Navarro Bowman and he would do this thing with his shoulders when he took he would act like he was taking on a fullback and then he would almost like disappear the way he rotated his shoulders and then made a tackle in the backfield. And so I remember asking him one time, like what he was thinking or what was his thought process. And I think I started trying to implement that in my game as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. He told me once that after one of the things he learned from you was, like studying the way people are built, right? Based on position, but even like where you can use your own leverage against certain maybe softer spots in their leverage. And, you know, as someone on the outside, to get that technical and that detailed in, you know, how to shed blockers and how to beat guys, like that just to me is so fascinating. And for him to be, I mean, he just lights up over the details as I know you see every day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I look up to Kobe and Kobe made a whole TV show based on the details. And so I feel like, you know, I kind of look up to Kobe from that aspect and that the way he, you know, processed the game. And so I feel like a lot of it is that.
I got to ask too about the moment, last question about Ernest. So I saw him put a little crown on your head, after one of the big plays you made against Seattle. What was that moment like? And obviously those things are not pre-planned, but when you went back and watched that, what was your reaction to that?
I just was laughing because he's done it a couple times this year. And I just think it's funny. It's a dope moment. And like they got a dope picture of it as well. So like I think it's just those are just the fun moments that you look back on and you just like, man, like you know, you were happy to be able to play with somebody like that.
Is that something that you're kind of thinking about now too? Because obviously the season has not gone the way that any Rams fan or any player or any coach thought that it was going to go. It's kind of been like a perfect storm of coincidence and injury and So those small moments, how much more important do those types of things, really being in it together, bonding with teammates, holding everybody together, but also cherishing those small moments that are a little bit more emotionally impactful. Has that become something that's been at the forefront of your mind?
I mean, I don't know. I'm always a present person, so I don't know if I like it's at the forefront of my mind, but I think it is big because, it's my first year. So, whether it was going to be a great season or whatever the case may be, you were going to go through some things with people, and those things would either push you apart or bring you closer together. And so I think that's been my focus, is making sure, regardless of the outcome, regardless of how the season is going, and make sure these moments, they bring us closer together than further apart.
I want to get back to that, because you said something the other day in your press conference that I thought was really striking, but I want to go micro here for a minute, because I was doing a query on our analytics site, True Media, yesterday as prep, and already the 5-day stats for the last two games that you played are insane. 21 tackles, 2 sacks, interception, 3 quarterback hits. And you obviously crossed the 100 tackle threshold, and you get the second longest streak in history of 100 straight tackle seasons. All of those things are that's fine, right? That's good. But to do what you did over a 5-day span, you hear all the time about how it's so hard to prepare for those short weeks mentally, but especially physically. I'm kind of wondering if you could shed some light on just you, the impact there of preparing for a Sunday, then a Thursday. But then I guess the oversimplified question is, how in the hell did you do that?
I just feel like there's certain things you just know, that you know what you got to do to get your body to bounce back. And there's certain things that you might not be able to squeeze in. So I think that's to me, the biggest thing is understanding that, for me, I have a short week and I have a routine that I go through the whole week, and some of that's going to have to be sacrificed. And so, it was just trying to figure out, how can I fit everything that I would normally do in 7 days into 4 or 3 or whatever many days we had to get ready. And so, I felt like I was able to get everything in. I even did yoga the day before the game. And so, that was dope. And then there's some other things that just, you didn't expect to happen. So I live in a condo, and I walked across the street to get a smoothie, and I came back, they were doing a fire drill. And so I had to go up, 18 flights of steps to get to my unit before the game, which is not hard or not easy. So there's so many different variables, but I think a lot of it is just mentally getting yourself prepared, and then also just doing the things that you can do to get right. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what you do, regardless of the situation, if your mental is right, then, 9 times out of 10, it works out in your favor.
This was before you had to walk up 18 flights of stairs before the Raiders game?
Before the game, yep.
And then you finish with 14 tackles. So I feel like now you have to walk up 18 flights of stairs before every game.
I don't know if I'm going to put that in my routine. So we're going to figure out a different way to get that high of a tackle score, for sure.
Well, tell me about the yoga, though, because first of all, I'm curious about where the most random place you've ever done yoga, because you have to stay on a routine, right? So, you hear about people who do it, you see people actually, especially in LA, they do it in the airport, stuff like that. I assume you've never gone quite that far, but I'm wondering kind of how that fits into your routine and when you pick that up and what that practice is like for you.
Yeah, I'm not that extreme. I'm not doing yoga in the airport, but especially in LA, everybody loves yoga in LA. So there's yoga is kind of like Starbucks. There's a yoga shop. There's a yoga shop every 5 blocks. And so there's one down the street from where I live. And so I just popped in real quick and took a class. But no, it's nice. It's a way to be present, way to make sure you stretch and, build your core. And so I think it's perfect for the game that I play.
You mentioned too, at one point this season, that when you first started doing practices like that, and inclusive of meditation as well, at first your brain was going a million miles an hour, and you're reminding yourself to zone back in. What was that process like?
I think it's a learning process. I think it's just like everybody has an idea of what yoga or meditation or things is supposed to be like. And if it doesn't go right the first time, like you suck at it, but it's not the case. It's just like anything else in life, just keep doing it and like figuring it out and, you know, slow your mind down, and be more present and pay attention to things that you may not pay attention to when you just moving so quick.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I feel like I've asked you this all the time, especially, you know, as this season has progressed, but continuing to strain in the way that you guys have strained to just like show up, you know, Sean McVay's talked a lot about how much he's learned from you in that regard of trying to be present even when things aren't necessarily going right. And I think when I look over, you know, your body of work this season, I especially see that in the way that you continue to finish tackles, in the way that you make stops on third or fourth down. I'm sure you are aware of this, but you're first among any player your position in run stuffs, and you're also tied for first in, you know, any stop on third or fourth down, run or pass, in terms of solo plays. And to me, that says effort. That says you're going to keep showing up regardless of the circumstances. Am I off base there? And where does that come from for you?
I think it's just the mentality of just the standard being the standard and not letting anything that's happening around or the results. Because you want to have results, but at the end of the day, you want to, put your best foot forward. So I feel like regardless of how the outcome comes or regardless of like, the season's going, my film is my resume and, my standard is my standard. And so every game that I step out there, I try to perform to the highest level. And, I think that's where that comes from. Just wanting to be the example of not only when things were going good, but, you know, in this situation when things are going bad, that, you know, you still got the best version of Bobby that he could possibly give.
And I guess to me, it seems like that would be a complicated line to walk because, you know, there's a lead by example mentality to it, but then there are times when you do have to reach back in and grab somebody and pull them along with you or do it in a subtle way where maybe sometimes, you know, all kinds of leadership styles that we've talked about. So I guess, how do you strike that balance among your teammates? Because every week it seems like I hear something about a book recommendation you've made to a younger teammate or a way that you've sort of reached across the proverbial line of scrimmage and helped an offensive player. And I guess I'm wondering, how do you know when to do that? And what are some moments that have stuck out to you in that regard this season?
Honestly, I don't, that's all God, to be honest. Like whatever is on my heart, I just say it. And whatever is on my heart to do, I just do it. And so I can't really take all the credit. I think that's, you know, that ability is higher than myself. But, you know, yeah, you just try to be a beacon of light and encourage people around you. And, you know, a lot of times people perform better when they're seen. And so, you know, you provide, you know, you understand that everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through something. Everybody's having hardship. Everybody is dealing with something. And, you know, when you feel that you're not doing this by yourself, it's easier to perform and give it your all for the person that sees you.
It kind of reminds me of something you said too a couple weeks ago, where you said you can, either way the tools are in your hand, you can build something from this for the positive, or you can build something from this for the negative. And to me, that translates for you in your professional life and in your, you know, your entrepreneurial life and in your charitable life. You're always progressing towards something, whether it's a lesson to learn or a lesson, you know, to build from, or to seek out some new opportunity. What are some things that you're involved in right now, Bobby, as you're we head into the holiday season or even beyond that, that you're excited about, either from a entrepreneurial side or, you know, I know you've gotten some of the STEM programming in LA and you've continued it in Seattle. Wonder if you could shed some light on a couple of things you're fired up about.
I think one of the biggest things that I'm fired up about is these tech tours that we've been doing. You know, I did one in San Francisco and then we got so much love from LA. Then we did it in LA and now we're getting so much love from Seattle that, you know, I feel like, you know, we can really continue to grow this and, you know, do it big in Seattle and then see what happens from there. Obviously we can do it again in the places that we've been, but I think that's pretty dope. Because I feel like we're giving people an opportunity that they normally wouldn't have, but we're also like hopefully inspiring young people to open their minds up to just something other than sports and entertainment. And, you know, hopefully one of these days, like 10 years from now, one of these kids opened up the next big business and it stemmed from, you know, a conversation that they had with a CEO that they wouldn't have been able to get a chance to have a conversation with. So I think that'd be one of the biggest moments when, you know, you help somebody create jobs for other people.
And they'll reach back out to you and they'll thank you. And then somehow you will still be playing inside linebacker in the NFL. But I kind of wondered about this before I let you go, Bobby, and thanks for your time today. At some point, you know, you build enough of this programming out and these kids, they all get to know each other and these young people start to know each other and then they meet other young people from different places and you almost start to build like an alumni support system, right? And I'm wondering if you've thought about that too, about that sense of building a community where people are exploring and how impactful that could be for a young person.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happened to me. Like I was like 23 when I went on my first tech tour and you know, had conversations, met so many different people. And now I'm doing some business with the people that I met, you know, when I was 23 and still doing business with those, the people that I met, like they still send me deals and things of that nature. And so hopefully, you know, we're inspiring and doing the same thing, creating a community of people that just lean in on one another and, you know, look more like the world. And change the dynamic in which it's more equal and equal opportunity for, you know, for the people that exist in this world.
Awesome. Bobby, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for joining this very special bonus episode of 11 Personnel. Thanks to Bud Light for facilitating. And don't forget, you guys can go tag your nominee and tag Bud Light in the handle. Thanks so much, Bobby. We'll catch you later this week. I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, that was the great Bobby Wagner. Thanks again, Bobby, for taking the time with us today for this bonus episode. I love when stuff like that comes together because you get to hear the player outside of work, outside of the facility, outside of the press conference and the lectern and the locker room and really get to hear them. That is crazy that he had to go up 18 flights of stairs after getting a smoothie because his condo was having a fire drill. Guys, I think as humans, we've all been there. A fire drill at the worst possible time to me right before you're about to play the Las Vegas Raiders on Thursday Night Football certainly qualifies as the worst possible time. You know, those are the types of tidbits and details that I love personally. So I wish you guys could have seen my face when that story was being told. Wanted to run down the news really quick. Again, we are in a bonus episode. Rich and I will be back on Tuesday after the Rams head to Green Bay to take on the Packers. And you might see Baker Mayfield starting at quarterback on Monday night against the Packers. And that was sort of the indication that Sean McVay said on Tuesday. John Walford is probably out with a neck injury. He certainly will not be likely to practice this week. The Rams' official practices start this week on Thursday. They'll practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Have a walkthrough Sunday, then travel on Monday. Maybe no pre-busload walkthroughs this time like there were last Thursday as Baker Mayfield was just in town for about 40 hours before he led a 98-yard touchdown drive with a minute 45 to play to help the Rams beat the Raiders 17-16 in his debut. and a couple of other injuries. Jacob Harris went on injured reserve. He tore his pec on a special teams play. That's a bummer, I think, for Rams fans. They've been sort of waiting for Jacob with all of his, you know, physical tools and you know, kind of want to, will to, and his prowess on special teams, really hoping for him to break out as someone who could really be a weapon in this offense, and it just has not happened yet. But, you know, especially with fourth round picks in later, you want to give him a little bit of time. So the Rams also claimed defensive tackle Laurel Murchison off waivers from the Titans. Had a couple of claims placed on him, actually, including the Seahawks, who are having a lot of trouble stopping the run. The Rams are still fourth in run DVOA, even without Aaron Donald and even without A'shaun Robinson, but Marquise Copeland does have a high ankle sprain, so probably why you're seeing a little bit of backups and reinforcements called in that regard. In other news, Sean McVay officially walked back, ruled out Cooper Kupp for the rest of the season. Cooper Kupp had the high ankle sprain, and there was no formal ruling out, a formal shutting down of him for the rest of the season, the way that the Rams did with Matthew Stafford. Seeing Cooper Kupp and how excited he was on the sideline last week when Baker Mayfield went on that touchdown drive, that game-winning drive, to me was a little bit of an interesting dynamic, because you think that, you know, a guy like Cooper is really itching, jonesing to be back out on the field, had the successful surgery, but the Rams sound like they're going to be pretty careful with him for his return. And Aaron Donald has not officially been shut down in other news. This is totally setting up to be like, oh yeah, Aaron Donald plays one more game this season, it's against the Chargers. Like, this is that vibe that's setting up right now. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But it's been interesting because it is, like I said, it's the same injury that Cooper Kupp had, a high ankle sprain. Obviously, there's varying degrees of severity. Aaron Donald did not have a procedure. Cooper Kupp did. He had the tightrope procedure, which is, you know, been enthusiastically received by medical professionals over the last 5 years or so, and is one of those where if the Rams were in contention, a tightrope procedure would indicate that a player could come back quickly, maybe more quickly than expected, but I think they're going to be careful with Cooper. Meanwhile, did not shut Aaron Donald down, which I find interesting. And in terms of other news, a couple practice squad guys, Khalil Davis, a defensive lineman, and Richard LeCount, both signed to the practice squad. Guys, it's going to be an interesting week, and it's going to be crazy on Monday Night Football in the cold, looking like 2 degrees at kickoff. Tyler Higbee said this week that he's got a no-sleeves policy. I wonder if you might reconsider after the first bite of that weather out there at Lambeau Field. I will be there. And like I said, Rich Hammond and I will be back on Tuesday to recap the game and talk about what's ahead. In the meantime, go check out my column on theathletic.com. You're going to see a trending up and trending down, and it's not just inclusive to players. And it's a fun little, tease to leave you guys with before I sign out. But as always, guys, hope you're taking care of yourselves. Hope you're taking care of each other. Again, this was a special bonus episode of the 11 Personnel Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.